This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Scotland Outdoors Podcast. I'm Mark Stephen, he's Ewan McElraith, and we're just going to look at one single issue here.
Yeah, we've covered the story of the beaver reintroduction in Scotland. Now, this is the first ever successful introduction of a mammal in Britain, ever. And it's up and running, and it's really, really successful. A lot of controversy.
Well, there's a lot of controversy because, you know, there was a trial area down in Argyll. Everybody kind of signed off on it down there, and the beavers were introduced. And actually, the terrain down there is absolutely perfect for beavers. But simultaneously, almost, beavers were reintroduced illegally by somebody, nobody knows who, into the Tayside area. And they are loving it there, but the farmers aren't.
Yeah, it's causing major problems of flooding. But it's a topic we've discussed many times. So we're going to have a look at the history of the reintroduction of the beaver. You know, it took 3 decades. We've actually been doing this job long enough to have covered it every step of the way. But this week they were given official legal protection. There was a big celebration event down in Edinburgh, and I was there as well.
Delighted to be able to introduce the Cabinet Secretary for Environment, Climate Change and Land Reform, who you already know, Rosanna Cunningham. We've also got another Cabinet Secretary here tonight somewhere, Mike Russell. So we're really, really delighted that the Scottish Government has taken the decision to grant beavers European Protected Species status. And obviously, Rosanna, you've been involved from the outset, those very early days. So I'm going to hand over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jo, and it's absolutely great to be here. I know that all of you, well, at least most of you, are probably sitting or standing here thinking, and about time too, that we finally got here. But there is a whole long story to this, and I understand I've just been told about.
Mike Russell, ex-Environment Minister.
And Rosanna Cunningham, Cabinet Secretary of the Environment, Climate Change and Land Reform.
This is a strange thing because you kicked it all off, didn't you?
I did. When I became Environment Minister in 2007, I was really keen to see this happen. It died as a proposal under the previous Labour government, late Labour, Liberal government, and I brought it forward. And I think Rosanna will reveal exclusively tonight, I leaked it to a newspaper over lunch and said, you should say this is a good thing, and it happened.
Because that must have been quite a nerve-wracking moment. This is a big step.
Yes, and I thought it was something that had to happen, but I also wanted to make sure that people knew the government wanted it to happen, so I was happy to be quoted as saying I wanted it to happen. But getting the bodies to do it was the issue, and it was quite difficult to get the bodies together to do it and then to overcome some of the difficulties that existed, such as what would happen if it went wrong.
You were there when the first beaver went in.
I was,
in that
yes,
deal. I was there as well.
Carried them, helped carry them down.
You carried them down. What was going through your head at that moment? Did you think it was going to work?
Yes, I did actually absolutely thought it was going to work. I didn't seriously think that we would be embarking on this project without there being a positive outcome. It's also quite a historic moment when you think about it, because it's a reintroduction of an animal in any country is a fairly historic moment. For it to be that animal, yes, I was very conscious of those two things, the fact that it was going to work, and that it was a historic moment. And I'm grateful that Mike was shuffled off to a different portfolio and I was able to have the joy of being the minister who actually introduced the beavers to Knapdale. And of course the irony is that I come back with a slightly different title some years later, and you know, we've been able to finalise the entire process.
What's it like? You know, it's a historic moment. You're getting a real belt from that. You know, here they are, they're in our waters, they're protected.
Well, yes, although I don't want to minimise the amount of work that has to go in order to do it.
A lot of grief and conflict.
I wouldn't have called it grief and conflict. I mean, we understood that there would be some challenges, and there have been, and they had to be worked through. And that does take a lot of effort and energy. And there were a lot of people who wanted it all to be done a lot faster. But, you know, I think it is better that we did it properly. And the net result, I think, has been a fairly positive outcome.
You're shaking your head.
No, I'm not shaking my head. There's great moments along the journey. It's always very long and painstaking. But for me, it is the night I spent on the river in Norway with Frank Roskell and Bjorn the beaver hunter, hunting for beavers, trying to find them, looking at them properly for the first time. I will never forget that. It was great to see it actually happening. And it will go on happening in Scotland. Mm. And that's because a lot of people wanted it to happen. And Rosanna and I were lucky enough to be in the right place to make it happen.
I'm Susan Davis, and I used to work for Scottish Natural Heritage, and I'm also the former Director of Conservation with the Scottish Wildlife Trust. I've been involved in the project on and off, almost since its inception, actually. It's just been really exciting.
What was the kind of mood in SNH? I mean, obviously, the Zoological Society, Scottish Wildlife Trust, they were all really keen. But SNH, I suppose, had to put the case together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you turn the clock right back, SNH were the first organisation to step up to the challenge of trying to bring beavers back to Scotland. And they did the site assessments, they looked into beaver ecology, they looked into kind of modelling how beavers would move in Scotland. And they actually submitted the first licence application to Scottish Government, and that was turned down.
Why was it turned down? Was it political or just it wasn't put together very well?
It certainly was put together very well. I think there are a number of reasons why it was turned down. Obviously, you have to have a lot of local support, which there was in Argyll, but more widely as well. You need that support, but you do need that political support as well. Two primary reasons were given for it being turned down. The first reason was that there would be an unacceptable impact, or we didn't know the impact on the woodland habitats in Knapdale, which was a trial site. And the second reason that was given was that the exit strategy from the trial wasn't palatable to ministers, which essentially meant you would have to kill the beavers to remove them.
What was it feeling like in SNH when that got knocked back?
A great deal of despondency at the time. A lot of hard work had gone into the project and the licence application. And that really was when the broader conversations started to take place about the role that the Scottish Wildlife Trust and the Royal Zoological Society for Scotland could take.
So you come at it from another approach?
Yes, absolutely. It enabled SNH to take a step back. SNH is really the independent advisor to ministers, and they could take on that role in terms of monitoring the impact of any project if it was given the go-ahead by ministers. There was also, in my mind, a political change at the time. The Scottish National Party and the Green Party seemed to share the vision that we needed to do something bold for conservation in Scotland.
Do you think this would ever happen?
I suppose deep down I always thought it would happen. I think it's been quite a big step to actually take, and this isn't the end of the road. For me, this is the start of bringing beavers back to Scotland. We have to make sure the new management framework and the licensing regime work as well. I had many moments where I probably started to doubt it, but I kept saying to people in the Scottish Wildlife Trust and more broadly, it will happen. We just need to let the process run. Let's not stir things up too much. It will happen.
I'm Alan Bandick OBE. I was the founding chairman of the steering group for the Scottish Beaver Trial. I spent 6 years as chairman of the Scottish Wildlife Trust. I've just finished 2 years as chairman of the Scottish Wildcat Action Project.
Yeah, where did the idea first come from? Let's put beaver back.
Well, I understand it first was mooted in 95, at that kind of time. And it was kicked around, and eventually SNH put forward a licence application, which was turned down. Michael Russell, now the Brexit minister, was the junior environment minister at that time. And he said, well, let's look at this again. And then when it was deemed inappropriate for SNH actually to put in an application, because they actually comment on applications of that kind, it was a bit...
Yeah. Police and gamekeeper.
Yeah, exactly that. So he said, well, OK, what about a couple of NGOs? So the Scottish Wildlife Trust and the Royal Zoological Society got together, Michael signed the licence, and we were in business.
Did you think it was going to happen? I remember speaking to Roy Dennis 30 years ago. Yeah, it's a great idea, but it's not going to happen.
Whatever way, it worked in our favour. And I was very pleased to be asked to chair the steering group to build a plan for the project.
What's it like being here tonight? You know, it's happening. They've got legal protection.
Everybody I've seen so far is so up. This is a fantastically positive event in where we celebrate legal protection for beavers. Remember, the beaver is the first mammal to be reintroduced into Britain ever. So, I mean, what a milestone. It's a historical day.
There are pressures on them. They have been getting shot up until now. That's against the law. Do you think that'll stop
I very much hope it will stop the persecution. I hope that the people will get tired and weary of the battle. I would love very much to speak to one-on-one with the farmers who are directly affected to see just what it is we can do to come to some accommodation.
Well, do you think you can coexist?
Yes, I absolutely think we can. To give you an example, some years ago, the Scottish Natural Heritage created a body called the Species Reintroduction Forum, where everything would be put on the table, because there had been all sorts of stushes about beavers, seagulls and so on. So we got around the table, about 30 or 40 people from all the different organisations that are interested in the countryside. There's the farmers, the gamekeepers, the estates, the conservation bodies, government, SNH and so on. And, OK, there was a lot of aggression originally, a lot of suspicion. But that kind of petered out over the first year or two. At that point, somebody said, well, how about we write a code for the reintroduction of species into Scotland? And we all said, yeah. Well, everybody thought, no way is it going to happen. This is not going to happen. Bless my soul. It happened. Absolutely everybody has signed up to this. So it now means that if you've got an idea to reintroduce a lost species, a native species, back into Scotland, there is a process. And you start by filling out forms, and it all happens because of that.
My name's Dr. Helen Senn. I'm Head of Conservation and Science Programmes at the Royal Zoological Society of Scotland.
Why did the Zoological Society want to get involved in this project in the first place? What was the attraction?
So our mission is to conserve species and wildlife, and ultimately we have lots and lots of skills in terms of captive management of animals and handling animals, and our ultimate mission is to see the release of animals into the wild and the restoration of wildlife across Scotland and the rest of the world. So that's a major motivator for us, and we work on lots of other reintroduction projects across the world.
But a unique opportunity in Scotland to do that. I mean, that must almost never happen.
Yeah, I think this is a really unique opportunity because it's the first mammal reintroduction, official mammal reintroduction to Scotland, so we feel really proud to be part of this.
You watched it growing up over the last 8-9 years. How have you felt about it? Have you felt protective about it? You felt apprehensive? Because, you know, there were some deaths at the start. It wasn't the greatest of beginnings.
So all reintroductions are a challenge. There's always a challenge around reintroducing an animal back into the wild, predation, finding food. And so everything that we do around a modern reintroduction is about minimising the risk to the animal that we release and maximising success.
Is it a slight problem, the fact that it doesn't really have a predator out there? It's potentially just going to grow exponentially.
I think we've got to monitor the situation in terms of the beaver reintroduction as beavers grow and expand across Scotland. But they are a natural part of our ecosystem, and they're extremely positive in terms of restoring biodiversity, generating new ecosystems. And so that's for me, that's one of the major, major benefits.
So have you seen any excitement, any interest from other parts of the world?
I think... internationally, this is a really flagship example of reintroductions. Many of our colleagues have been able to present the work that we do, for example, at the IUCN Reintroduction Conference in Chicago. People are looking to this reintroduction, not just south of the border, but also internationally as a way forward for leading the way species restoration should take place. Any reintroduction process should be balanced. It should involve science. And that's why the Scottish Beaver Trial was so important, because it's a trial reintroduction to really measure and monitor all those things, gather people's opinion, bring people along.
I'm Simon Girling, I'm the head vet at the Royal Zoological Society of Scotland.
Simon, how daunting a prospect is it bringing a species back that's been absent for so long?
It really is a big deal, and it's not been done in the UK before. And there are so many aspects that have to be considered, from health and welfare of the animals through to the environment and the ecological impacts. So it's a really big deal.
It was worries at the time about disease, tapeworm, various other infestations that you would bring in with the beaver. What's been the reality with that?
The reality has been that the beavers in Scotland are surprisingly and pleasantly disease-free, which is the good news. There have been cases of tapeworm in European beavers on the continent. They seem to be located in certain hotspot areas in Germany and other places like that. But the beavers in Scotland, we've done quite a lot of work with, and we can pretty much confidently say that they have not got these nasty...
Was that down to sheer skill on your part and your team, or was it just luck?
No, I think... think there was a, because some of these beavers are feral, so they've managed to find their way into the wild out with our reintroduction. Our reintroduction used beavers from Norway, which doesn't have this tapeworm. So that was planned. The feral beavers in Tayside were largely unplanned, clearly. And actually, yes, that was more, I think, good luck. But we've done quite a lot of testing over the last 8 years or so, and pretty confident that they don't have this parasite.
So is that testing finished to establish they're healthy beavers, or does that continue?
It continues. We take the opportunity if people present beavers that have, they come across that have died in the wild, road traffic accidents, etc. We take the opportunity to do post-mortems and to check. So we're always, rechecking and revalidating the data. The work's never done. You have to keep going.
Presumably you find the ones that have been shot as well.
Yes, we had historically beavers presented to us that had been shot, and we've latterly also been presented with one or two beavers that most recently one on Scottish Wildlife Trust territory up at the River Tummel, so I did the post-mortem on that one. And whilst the cause of death wasn't directly associated with shooting, it had been shot, that particular beaver.
Are you relaxing now? Because the potential for it to go wrong must have been massive.
Yes, if not well planned, the potential for the reintroduction could have gone quite badly wrong. Certainly, with the careful planning and with the continuous revalidation, continuous re-examination, we're very happy that the work that we've done has been successful. And in Knapdale, we certainly are confident that all of our beavers certainly are very healthy.
I'm Simon Milne. I was formerly the chief executive of the Scottish Wildlife Trust when we, with the Royal Zoological Society of Scotland, launched the beaver trial.
What was that like? That must have been pretty exciting.
It was very exciting. The thought of introducing the first formal reintroduction of a mammal back into Scotland, really the start of rewilding Scotland, really exciting.
Well, how daunting was that? Because, as you say, it had never been done before. It's a leap of faith.
It was a leap of faith. There was a lot of science behind it, so we had that assurance. But also it's not really the science which is the issue. It's obviously working with people and society, because it's a big change, and obviously landowners and various other people were nervous of it. So it was as important to bring people alongside as it was to deal with the science.
Do you think that's been achieved? Because obviously there's still some controversy.
I think it has been achieved. I think what is shown is that good science is behind these things, and that a well-prepared reintroduction programme can work. I think there is some way to bring people on board reintroductions. I can understand why people are nervous about it, because, of course, it's 400 years is a long time, and land use has changed. So we've got to work really closely with landowners and look at mitigation as well as the ecological benefits.
What was it like signing that form and saying, right, here we go?
Well, I sat there with David Windmill, and we signed it together, and we thought, ooh, I think we're doing the right thing. We are doing the right thing. But there's still a bit of nervousness about that, because, it's a big change. It's a big step forward for conservation in Scotland. But, you know what? We did it, and we achieved it.
Jill Dowse, Knowledge and Evidence Manager at the Scottish Wildlife Trust.
Jill, what were your thoughts on this whole project right back at the start and that deal?
That it's just completely an amazing thing to be bringing back an extinct mammal to the country for the first time.
Did you think it was going to happen, though?
Not for a while, but yes, it was a lot of hard work, the trial and things, but I think we always had the belief, and we knew that beavers always had the fantastic benefits that they bring to the environment.
It was a bit sticky at the start, wasn't it? It wasn't exactly a roaring success.
In terms of animals in Knapdale, I think lots of the reasons why Knapdale was chosen as a release site for the trial was that it had natural geology and geography that would sort of keep the animals in, and perhaps those meant that it wasn't perhaps the best place for a founding population. We were trying to study the beavers very carefully in away from human conflicts as much as possible.
How difficult is that? Because, they're working away at night, they're pretty widespread, they're underwater. How difficult was it setting up the technology to actually monitor what you've got?
Yes, it was a big challenge. The first thing is you can't put collars on a beaver because they don't have a neck. So there was a lot
really?
Of... yes. So there was lots of looking at attachment for different kinds of tags, and we tried GPS tags and radio tags and things. Played about with different technologies and tried innovative approaches.
So what did you settle on?
Sort of a mixture of radio tags and ear tags, and actually as technology advanced and things, we did a lot more with camera traps, and if we had beavers that we were going to catch up
particularly, we'd put on little GPS tags and then we'd have to get those back, but then we could get a huge amount of data from them.
The ones in Tayside have hit headlines, obviously, with the conflict with farmers, but how are the ones in Knapdale doing now?
They're doing pretty well. So as the Scottish Beavers Partnership, which is the Scottish Wildlife Trust and the Royal Zoological Society of Scotland, we've been reinforcing the population there in Knapdale. So we've released 14 beavers there over the last couple of years. And it's quite hard to know exact numbers there now, because obviously it's quite difficult to identify different beavers. But we feel that they're doing quite well and they're expanding the number of ranges that they're in.
The fact that you're bringing in fresh beaver to that part of the world means you're widening the gene pool. Is there a different problem in Tayside where potentially it's a very narrow gene pool?
That could potentially be a problem in the future. I know the studies on the beavers in Tayside have shown they've come from three families. And yes, in Knapdale, obviously we started Norwegian beavers and now we're bringing in Bavarian. So, yeah, we are trying to sort of mix up the genetics a bit. To make
the possibility of mixing East and West Coast?
Yes, absolutely. I think we'll make it more resilient, and hopefully in the future, you know, the Knapdale beavers would expand and the populations might meet.
Yeah. I'm Simon Jones. I'm the Director of Conservation and Visitor Operations at Loch Lomond and Trossachs National Park Authority. Really pleased to say that I was the project manager for the Scottish Beaver Trial right from the beginning to the close of the official scientific monitoring trial.
Well, I was there when the first beaver were introduced in Knapdale and thought, these poor wee things are getting chucked out here. Will they survive?
They're pretty hardy things. I mean, beavers have been doing what they've been doing for thousands, millions and millions of years. The place was well suited for them. They were suited to it. Oh, man, it was a special thing to see and to be part of, really.
How significant is this? Because it's the first time it's ever been done in Britain.
Yeah, it's really interesting now to be years, many years later, looking back at it, hindsight, and without a doubt, I think it was one of the kind of landmark conservation projects of a generation, really, in terms of what it represented, the first time a mammal species was ever reintroduced. So I think a lot has come after it, and I think looking back on it now, I think we can really understand the significance of what it represented, really.
What do you think the potential is? What would we just go down and say, oh, there's a beaver in the river, so what?
Well, I think it'll be amazing how quickly people will become used to that, really, and I think there are parts of Scotland now where people are used to it and they're becoming part of the fabric of nature. And I think long term, really, what we're looking at, it was an ecosystem restoration project. It wasn't really a species reintroduction project. That what the idea is about what the beaver can do, not what the beaver is about itself.
There's a lot of pride. I mean, fair enough, there's conflict with farmers, we've dealt with that a lot. There seems to be a lot of pride in what's been achieved here.
Well, if you can think about it in terms of landmark, about how much understandable concern and opposition there was in some places, but I suppose for many of us involved in the organisations and the individuals, we knew how difficult it was going to be, what it represented, but what the prize was that was worth chasing. And I think, we followed that through, and I think it's worked a treat. We've learned a lot about ourselves, we've learned a lot about the animal, and I think we've learned to live with them again, really.
Simon Jones there now of the Loch Lomond and Trossachs National Park, but way back when, he was the guy who was responsible for setting up that trial down in Argyll.
Yeah, we've covered this story right since the start. I was there when Rosanna Cunningham, the Environment Minister, put the beaver into the water. I was not totally convinced it was going to work, but here we are, and they've got a thriving population throughout Scotland. They're expanding rapidly. There are going to be problems, but folk can apply for a licence if they're having a big impact on the farm.
Yeah, the fact that they've now got legal protection doesn't mean that, that there aren't management schemes for them, and it doesn't mean that they can't be killed. But you've got to apply for a licence first, as I understand it. So far, 32 applications have gone in, of which 28 have been granted. That's to either move a dam, kill the beaver, or translocate.
But they are successful, they are expanding. And I think the point a lot of people made to me, because it's so long in the process, they think they've got it right. And a lot of people around the world are looking at what happened in Scotland and say, that's the way to maybe do reintroductions, rather than the dangerous thing of, well, let's lob them in and see what happens.
Yeah. Sadly, that's all we've got time for on this week's Scotland Outdoors podcast. If you have any thoughts on that, on reintroducing species, or indeed on beavers, wherever they might be, give us an email, outofdoors@bbc.co.uk. From all of the team here at BBC Aberdeen, thanks very much for downloading us.